Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
I'm always amazed on how things come together, whether it's music or simply that some of the testimonies that relate to what I'm going to speak on this morning. Did they click? Did they? Okay. I can't see the color, so anyhow, you're going to spend most of your time in Daniel chapter 4 this morning, other than that one verse at the very end, so don't keep your finger in Daniel 4. Now I'm going to read 4 through 9, since I get my Bible opened up here. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my place. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told them the dream before them. But they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I have known that the spirit of God, of the holy gods, is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. I'm not going to go through the whole book because it would take time there. I'll explain some and do some paraphrasing. But Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 4, looked at his kingdom and he was more or less relaxed in it at home. And what the book, what the chapter 4 talks about is Nebuchadnezzar looked at his kingdom that he had made, and God took it away. In a nutshell, that's what takes place in verse 4, chapter 4. Now, what I want you to think about before we go into this is that each of us have our own kingdoms, which we have, and we think we have made. We have our own homes or houses. We have our own land or our marriages, our family. We have our own cars, trucks, and motorcycles that we've gotten over the years. We have our own clothes and tools and all the things we have in our homes and all. And oh yes, we have our checking account, our savings account, our retirement plan, or whatever we get money from. All this is our kingdom. Just like Nebuchadnezzar had his kingdom. And I want us to look at what the scripture does and what God does with Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom and how he looked at his kingdom, and for us to have an example for us to look at ours. In verse 4, Nebuchadnezzar says he's relaxing at home and enjoying all that he has. Now, I'm going to pause there a moment because it talks more about it in verse 28. But between that, there's another thought that I want to bring to you. And that is, Nebuchadnezzar believed in many gods in his day. Now, that was normal, if you think about it. If you read through Scripture, they had a god for almost everything. And in verse 8, he talks about this. He says, in verse 8, he says, but at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God. His God. Now, in your Bible, did you notice that the word God is small? It's not capitalized. That anytime it's small, it's referring to a man-made God. Not a God. There's only one true God. Okay, there's only one true evil, and that's Satan. Now, in verse 9, you see something else about his God. He says, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know the spirit of the holy gods, plural, is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, an interpretation thereof. Now, as a note here, Daniel already interpreted a previous dream in chapters before. Though Belshazzar knows, Nebuchadnezzar knows about this stuff. But yet, it says here, plural gods. This shows his ignorance towards the true God. They worship many gods. The true God was just one of them. But they didn't know him as being the true God. Okay? All he knows is Daniel was good at interpreting his dreams. So now they believe their God was at least a little bit higher on the totem pole than the other God. But they believed in so many gods. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he was in Greece, he was down there, he was walking down the street, and he saw a statue of all these gods. And then he came across the one, God of the unknown God. Why? Because the Greeks didn't want to take any chance offending some god they didn't know about. So they put up a statue of the unknown god that they didn't know about. So Paul used that as an opportunity to witness, and let me tell you about the unknown god. And we read that in the epistles. So we see, we can see that Nebuchadnezzar did not know the true God at this time. He knows about the God of Daniel, but he doesn't know the God of Daniel. He has not experienced the God himself. Next, we see that Nebuchadnezzar thought too highly of himself. This picks up now in verse 28 from verse 4 that I was just talking to you about. Here's what it says in verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. By the way, Babylon, during this time, and Nebuchadnezzar ruled the known world. This wasn't just a little bitty kingdom. This was huge. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of his day. And then it says, and the king spake and said, is this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and the honor of my majesty? It's all about him. All about him. I built my house and I built my bank accounts and I got all this money, is what he's talking about. And he's putting himself on this pedestal of what he's accomplished in his life. Look what I've accomplished. And he says this 12 months after God spoke to him in a dream. And I want you to note that now. This is 12 months later after the interpretation when Daniel interpreted his dream. Now, just to give you a quick synopsis, I guess would be the word or whatever, of his dream. I'm not going to go through what the actual dream was, but this is basically the interpretation. I'm going to make you into an animal, and you're going to live as an animal in the woods, eating grass, walking on your own, and he even goes as far as to talk about his fingernails growing out. I mean, he's literally going to be an animal, and he's going to lose his kingdom. He's going to live in the woods, and he's going to do it for 7 years. Think about that. So here it is now, verse 28. It's a year later after God tells him what he's going to do. A year later, God says, in a year, this is what's going to happen. Now, showing what God is going to do, this shows us how wicked our hearts are and the need for us to pray and study the Word of God. That's why I kind of need, with your testimony over there and Diane's this morning, with that book she was just going over, I don't think you quite understand sometimes. As Christians, you can never stop praying enough. You can never stop studying enough. You can never stop growing enough. The moment you do, you know what happens? You start going backwards. Immediately. There is no, I'm going to achieve a Christian plateau. It just doesn't happen. And the moment you miss Sundays, you're going backwards. Because you're not being fed. The moment you don't do your daily bread every day, you go back. And not that you have to do the daily bread, but a devotion. Or maybe listening to a sermon in the car or something. Now, in my trip, this started off with me listening to sermons on the way back from Pennsylvania. And is where this came about. But we got to try to use every opportunity to listen. But I want to tell you something. Listening is not enough. Nebuchadnezzar listened to the interpretation. But he didn't do anything about it. A year goes by and he still hasn't done a thing about it. And at the end of the year, what's he doing? He's doing exactly the opposite. Look what I'm accomplished. Look what I've done. Look at the things that I have. Nothing about God. He goes back to his own self after he hears the interpretation, and nothing has changed in his life, and he hasn't learned a thing. And how many times do we walk out here on a Sunday and never heed to what God has spoken to you about? We must be careful that it does not happen to us. When God teaches us something, we must heed to it right away. Scripture says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day you make the decision when God speaks to your heart. Whether it's reading that devotion, the moment you're reading that at home, and God speaks to your heart, you make that decision right that moment. I'm going to change my life for whatever God talked to you about. Or maybe a song that you know, God preaches through songs too. And you're listening to a Christian song and God gets a hold of your heart about that. You need to make that decision. You need to heed to it right away. Respond to it and start doing. I'll give you some verses at the end about that. If we ignore God and go on doing what we want, some type of judgment will eventually come. Now, your first thing I figured that any Christian is going to say is, we live in the age of grace, and we live in the age of mercy. Correct. So let me show you what grace and mercy does. We got to be careful that we do not do things that may provoke God. God is holy, and he's never going to stop being holy and righteous. And we just got talking about tribulation, and he's purging heaven, he's purging earth. Why? Just because of love? Because he's righteous, he's holy. And there is judgment when people go against him. God has much grace and mercy towards us, but there's a limit to everything. God gave Nebuchadnezzar a year to straighten out his life. A year. Now we may only get a month. I don't know. We may get away with it one time and two. And why do most thieves get caught? You ever think about this?
They think they're smarter.
Well, not only that, but here's what happens. I did some research on this many years ago. Not for preaching, but for other things. You steal something. You get away with it. That wasn't so bad after all. Okay, later on, you know, I need something. Well, I'll steal it again. Hey, you got away with it again. And at some point, you eventually goof up and you get caught. It may not be the first time, it may not be the second time, it may not be the third time, but you will get caught. And nowadays, they can do so much with this medicine and DNA and everything else. I mean, you got to be ultra, ultra smart, and nobody covers every base. And who's the guy they finally got out of Mexico 24 years later? And finally getting him in here. He didn't get away. A year. And that was, and let me show you what God's grace is and his mercy is. He gave him a year. Did God have to give him a year? No. He didn't have to give him a day. He could have gave him a month, but he gave him a whole year to change his life. Now, I tell you what, that's a lot of grace and mercy and love. It went a long way. And as we have to learn what we have learned in the past, every one of you has got to be able to go look in the past as your Christian life and see God working and God not working. And all I can tell you is, and I've been preaching this since I've been here, the more you are in line with God and doing his will and not your own, the more God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you with things before you get a chance to even pray about sometimes. And all of a sudden, there it is. And the biggest single problem I should have in this ministry every Sunday is telling you we don't have enough time for all the praises. Because so many of you, everybody in here should be coming in praising God. And your list should be huge. It should be if you're in the right relationship with God. Because the closer you get, the more He blesses. If you only go a little bit, you get a little bit. You go a lot, you get a lot. And that's the way God works. He is not going to get... Well, once in a while, we get something we don't deserve. That does happen. But for the most part, it's the opposite way. But here's what's neat. And this is the best part of the whole chapter. Is verse 34. Nebuchadnezzar was brought down to live like an animal for 7 years. Can you imagine eating grass, being on all fours, fingernails growing long, hair long? I mean, he looked almost like an animal. Nobody was running out there feeding him. He was out in the woods by himself. Not with any money, living like an animal. And look what 34 says. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. He finally put God where he should be. And the moment he did that, look what happens. And my understanding returned unto me. And I praised the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And if you keep reading about his life afterwards, he changed everything, his kingdom. He did everything. God was number one in that man's life after that. Nebuchadnezzar learned the hard way. Did he have to? No. He could have responded right after Daniel gave him the interpretation. And he would have never had to go through the 7 years. And like I said just a moment ago, I've done my best to show you all God's way. It's the easy way. I've mentioned it in several ways. When Christ says, take my yoke, put it upon me. I just said that a couple weeks ago. He says, it's easy. He says, I reward you. He says, I will reward you to the point that your cup will overflow. That you can't contain it. Now, if Jackie Moore, that has nothing, can be that happy, how much happier should we be that have something? And again, what Paul said, I've learned to whatever state I'm in. Now, Paul came from a well-to-do family. He had, I guess, what we call equivalent to a doctor's degree. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And yet he also knew what it was like to live day to day with nothing, as well as have money. And that's what he meant by what state. Whether he was in prison or out of prison. Whether he was tormented or stoned or whatever. It was all about God was number one in his life. But some of us still do not do all that God asks of us. And we're not seem to be getting the blessings that we could be getting. And at some point, God is going to do whatever it takes for us to learn that lesson in our lives. And the best, worst part about it is, or what could be the best part, is you don't have to go through it. Nobody has to go through this. Why do you think God put this in the Bible? For preachers to preach this so you can see that there's a better way than going through the hardships some of us go through. When problems keep coming into our lives, one after another, finances we don't have enough money for, or this breaks down and that breaks down and what's going on, and you know, things are going to keep happening, but you can go through it. Blessing in the Lord, praying, presenting those things to the Lord, knowing, I don't know how God's going to take care of this. I just know He's going to take care of it. I don't know when, how, or anything else. I just know. And sometimes a no answer is an answer. Sometimes we pray for things we don't, well, in the long run, I guess what you just said. God knows the future. He knows what's best for us and what we need to do. Sometimes we don't. All we know is now. And I remember many times in the past, especially when I was in college, praying to God, I need money for this bill. It's due today. The due date's today. And I didn't get that money that day. Eventually, I got it a week or 2 weeks later, but I kept saying, God, it was due. Isn't that a bad testimony? That's what I used to pray to God. Isn't that bad? If you can give it to me 2 weeks late, why can't you give it to me the day it's due? I never quite got over that. It didn't change. God had things to teach me. Please heed God's word and do it. Now, James chapter 1, verse 23. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding the natural face in a glass. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, God's word, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, God's will, okay, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now, do you understand that? That's saying, God, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, whatever road you're walking down that God would have you to walk down, guess what? God's going to take care of every step that you need to take care of. Everything you're going down, God is because, why? Because number one, you're going to be doing what God wants you to do to begin with, because you're heeding to his word. You're not going down the wrong road. You're not taking a detour. Nebuchadnezzar did not have to go through all that he had if he had just heeded to God in the first place. Now the question is for you. Do you understand that? Are you going to do something about it? I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what direction God has you going. But don't play games with God. I wish I could remember the lady that said this. I heard it on a thing one day. She was talking, I guess, a women's conference I picked up on the radio years ago. But it was something to do with, how much are you going to give God today? Today, I think I'll do $10 worth. The next day, I'm going to give him $50 worth. In other words, we're giving a percentage, 10% of my time today. God wants 100% of your time every single day the rest of your life. You work a secular job? Fine. 100% while you're at that job. You don't have to be in the ministry to be doing 100% for God. And even a lot of pastors that are supposed to be are not. I just saw on the radio coming here, they were talking about liberal people that hold the faith, that are pastors. And they're finding less and less people coming to their services of liberal churches. They said this is across the board. It's going down big time. People are fed up with it. And they were going talking about how they are putting what? Political things in. Just like the Pope's doing right now. He's in here. He's talking about everything but the religious stuff. Talking about the global warming. The UN. He shouldn't be talking about any of that stuff. Biblically, if you believe in a Catholic doctrine, he has nothing to do with that. He should keep his mouth shut about that. He should be talking about the things of the Lord.
He could be the Antichrist.
We do not have to go through any lesson or judgment if we just heed God's word. God puts all this in his word for us to learn and take a lesson. And my question to you is this morning, is will you heed what God's teaching you? Whatever that might be. Every one of us got problems. Some are different than others. We don't all have the same problems. But I do know one thing. We all have the same person that can help us through those problems. But we have to. Every day. Not just today. You don't go home today. Heed everything today and forget him tomorrow. And next week. And next week. And next week. Because coming here every Sunday does not make you close to God. It's what you heed every week that makes you close to God. It's what you pray every day. Pray more and more and more and more. Make a list of all your things you need to pray about. Whether it's physical things in your body, or your work, or your money, or tithing, or husband and wife problems, or children problems, whatever. Everything's got to be committed before the Lord. And he says, what else does he say in James? If you lack wisdom, ask him. Ask every day. Will you take heed of what God's teaching you? Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.